Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your calls in just a moment. As just mentioned, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. But I want to start the broadcast today with a story of persecution. As many of you know, I've spent a lot of time over the last decade in China and have heard testimony after testimony from those who have been persecuted for their faith. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." A story on persecution in China gripped me today. It's a story that took place back in 1977, involving a pastor and two Christian girls who were sentenced to death because of their faith. The persecutors, as is very common, mocked and scorned them for being so foolish as to die for an unseen God. Then they promised the pastor that if he would shoot the girls, they would release him. And guess what? He accepted. The girls waited patiently in their prison cells for the moment of their execution. They prayed quietly together. A fellow prisoner who watched the execution through the barred windows of his prison cell said that their faces were pale but beautiful beyond belief, infinitely sad but sweet. They were placed against a wall, and their pastor was brought forward by two guards. They placed him close in front of the girls and put a pistol into his hand. The girls whispered to each other, then bowed respectfully to their pastors. And one of them said this, "Before being shot by you, we want to thank you for what you have meant to us. You baptized us. You taught us the way of eternal life. You gave us Holy Communion with the same hand in which you now hold a gun. May God reward you for all that you have done for us. You also taught us that Christians are sometimes weak and commit horrible sins, but they can be forgiven again. When you regret what you're about to do to us, do not despair like Judas, but repent like Peter. God bless you. And remember that our last thought of you was not one of indignation against your failure. Everyone passes through hours of darkness. We die with gratitude." They bowed again to their pastor, closed their eyes, and stood silently waiting. The pastor had obviously hardened his heart because he raised the pistol and shot them. And no sooner had they fallen to the ground than the communist guards put him against the wall for immediate execution. As they shot him, no one heard words of repentance, only the sound of screaming. Well, I have encountered many Christians in China persecuted for their faith, Christians who have lost their social standing, their financial well-being. And the one thing that I've seen with those who have experienced the crucified life is not an ounce of self-pity, but rather a great gratitude that they might suffer for their Lord. I remember a number of years ago being asked to pray for the persecuted church. on the National Day of Prayer. And my response has always been the same. I hope that the persecuted church is praying for us, because the church was born in the cauldron of persecution. And all too often today, we see the church not as a way in which we can become exemplars for Christ, but a way in which we can receive benefits from Christ, which is to say, Christ has all too often become a means to our ends, but in true Christianity, oftentimes witnessed in the persecuted church, Christ is not a means to our ends. Christ is the end. Many of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial to get your question answered live today, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll give the contact information on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, the number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. First up today, Craig, listening in Austin, Texas, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. It's really an honor to speak with you. And I'm honored to say that I'm a financial supporter of your ministry. And if I'm checking on something, a lot of times I'll go back and find out what does Hank got to say about this before I get too involved in it. I have a rather lengthy question, so I'm going to get right to it, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I have some biblical answers for 12 major, what the Bible refers to at some point in time as mighty men of God. And these men, I have scriptural backup for this in case you want to hear it. I've never heard this preached, nor have I heard this taught in any church, small group, DVD, CD, MP3, anything. And so I've asked pastors, and I'm just going to ask you. I have biblical answers of mighty men of God and what they were doing when they were called into service by God. And they have one characteristic in common. They were all at work. They were working in their lay jobs. I'll give you an example. David, in 1 Samuel 16, he was in the field shepherding when Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to find the next king of Israel. Jesse lined up six of his sons. He said, none of these six are them. Where's the other one? He's out back working. Moses, tending his flock when God appeared in the burning bush. Peter and Andrew, brothers who were fishing when Jesus called them into service. James and John, brothers who were preparing their nets for fishing when they were called. Matthew, working as a tax collector. Samuel, on duty in the tabernacle. Saul, looking for his father's lost donkeys. Gideon, threshing wheat. Nehemiah, working for Xerxes as a wine steward. And finally, not coincidentally, 12, Paul was on his way to Damascus on official business when Jesus reached out to him. So the significance there is they were all working. And I don't believe in luck, nor do I believe in coincidence, because it's not scriptural. I'd love to know your take on it, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, you got it. And what a wonderful fast trek through the Word of God. Yeah, I mean, I think back in biblical times, most people were working, so it would be unusual for them not to be called in the midst of their labors and to be called to another labor, to a higher calling, which is to labor for the kingdom that lasts for all eternity. I was actually thinking as you were speaking about the Apostle Paul and surprised that you mentioned him, because his work was certainly not a work that we would commend, because he was breathing out vile persecutions and threats against Christians. And I was also thinking of Nathaniel under the fig tree. But yeah, I mean, I think it would be commonly held that most people were called in the midst of their labors to a higher labor, to a higher calling. And that calling was not a calling that oftentimes precluded the previous calling, because, as you know, Peter oftentimes went back to his original vocation. He went back to fishing, and Paul oftentimes went back to his original vocation, that of tent making. In fact, he was a tent maker, and that was the way in which he facilitated the ministry that he did for his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as the apostle to the Gentiles. So, yeah, I think it's a very, very interesting point that you make, and it is a point that ultimately lets us know that whatever we do, we are not called out of work, but in the midst of our work, we are called to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which brings up an issue that so many people oftentimes get wrong, and that is they feel that they are called to go into ministry. Maybe someone that has a secular job says, you know, I feel like I'm called to go into full-time ministry. And the reality is they're already in full-time ministry, because wherever we are, whether we're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, we are yet in the full-time service of the Lord, using our influence in the workplace to make a difference while there is yet time. Good insights. Craig, thanks so much for your support, for calling today. Back to the phone lines. Mike, Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Hey Hank. I have a question for you. In Genesis, I wrestle with this often, but it's in regards to the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
And was this, this tower, was it literal? And what language did they actually speak? And is it saying that that's where we have these several different languages that we speak today? I wrestle with this, and I just can't grasp it.
Yeah, well, this was something that took place in southern Mesopotamia, and there people would build these ziggurats to the gods. In fact, when you think about Jacob's Stairway to Heaven, it is a similar idea that the gods were in heaven and they came down and visited us on earth. But the overarching principle within the story, which is a story that has a historical backdrop, again, the ziggurats were ways in which people thought that the gods could commune with them. In fact, they would come down the stairway, and the people would build little beds and food supplies for them, and these kinds of things. So there was a pagan permutation to this, where the pagan gods ruled and people bowed to the wishes of capricious gods. But there was also a biblical motif that came out of this, where Yahweh, the God of Israel, came and dwelt with humanity. And the overarching point here is that this is precisely what we are to think from a biblical standpoint. Not that God is afar off, but that God is going to ultimately conjoin the habitation in which he dwells with the habitation of humanity. In other words, sacred space will fill our place when the veil between God's habitation and our habitation is removed. So the stairway to heaven that Jacob experienced was emblematic of that very thing. Now, did the languages become confused? The answer is yes. The idea is people were gathered together in that particular context, in that particular time, and not doing what they were called to do. God had commanded humanity to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the whole earth, but instead they settled in Shinar to work collectively towards developing their human potential rather than using their skills and using their calling to extend the kingdom of God. And so what God did is he confused their languages so that they would be scattered and could not continue to build a grand memorial to human potential. And what you find in Pentecost is the inverse of that. While the languages were scattered at Babel, in Pentecost, the languages were given in a supernatural fashion to the apostles so that what they were saying could be heard by people that had gathered from many different areas in the Roman Empire, so that the gospel, which was in an embryonic church, could go out to the ends of the world, so to speak. So in one case, the languages for God's purposes were scattered, and in the other case, where people were gathered around a particular dialect, they were scattered so that their languages would be confused and so that they could not build an edifice, as it were, to their human potential. So this is a story that has a historical backdrop and, of course, is written by the inspired authors of Scripture. We can take it as a historical narrative, something that happened in real time, and contextualize the ziggurats as a part of that story. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
When we see a work of art, we know it was created by an intelligent designer. But evolution asks us to believe that our Earth and its inhabitants are the result of a purposeless process. Hank wants to equip you with the truth about creation. That's why he'll send you a powerful DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, to thank you for your donation today. Request it when you call 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Want to learn more about the miracle of a common chicken egg? How about the mechanism in a hummingbird's tongue? Elestra Media's new DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, shows the truth about the complex designs of these creatures and more. It's also Hank Hanegraaff's gift to you in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you watch Flight, you'll be reminded again that our world has been designed by our creative creator God. Flight also counteracts the evolutionary thinking that you and your children or grandchildren could be exposed to, and it equips you with the truth of the biblical account of creation. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Can you handle the truth about creation? Many students today aren't being told the truth. Instead, they're taught the theory of evolution as truth. That's why, in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Flight, The Genius of Birds. This new DVD from Elestra Media is an eye-opening look at the precise way God created birds. From skeleton to musculature to circulatory system and every other part of their body, it's all geared to work together to produce flight. And Flight shows you and your children and grandchildren why evolution is false and the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. There's something you see every day that proves creation is true. Birds. Yes, birds show us that they weren't designed to fly by a purposeless process, but by a personal plan. And Hank wants to send you the DVD, Flight, The Genius of Birds, to equip you with this truth. Flight is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, request your copy today. Just call 888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Speaking of Flight, the Genius of Birds, I love what poet William Blake wrote when he said to see an eagle in the air is to observe a portion of genius. In Flight, the Genius of Birds, the ingenuity of a bird's behavior and biology showcase unmistakable evidence for design, purpose, and plan. It is evidence best explained by an intelligence that transcends the natural world. Again, as Randy said, for your gift, we'll send you Flight as our way of saying thank you, but it is one of the most extraordinary products we have ever put into anybody's hand, a tremendous equipping tool, particularly as your children go back to school. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Mike in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Howdy, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Appreciate
Pleasure.
You.
Thank you.
I have a question. I don't really remember exactly what chapter verse Ephesians 2, something, well, we're seated in the heavenly places. Manner as believers. So, man, if we're here, how can we be there?
Yeah, well, yeah, the passage in Ephesians 2:6 has a corollary passage in Colossians chapter 3. But in virtue of Christ's conquest of sin and death, we are now lifted up from the deepest hell to heaven itself. In other words, we have been rescued from sin and death and the grave, from depravity itself, and now are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And the emphasis here is on the word now. Paul has said elsewhere in passages like Philippians chapter 3 that in Christ our citizenship is even now in heaven. And that is where true life is found, a citizenship that is not conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds and not in conformity with the standards and limits of the world. So what Paul is talking about is that we now are experiencing heaven in the present. And we can't think of heaven and earth as two separate locations, but better as overlapping, interlocking domains of God's good creation. So they are two different dimensions of one creation, now separated by a veil. But we transcend that veil through Jesus Christ, who has allowed us to commune with God in the very present time, something that is an earnest, a foretaste of what will happen when God himself will live with us. We will be his people. He himself will be our God and will wipe every tear from our eyes.
Whoa. Wow. Thank you.
You got it. Hopefully that makes sense to you. Back to the phone lines, Deborah in Laverne, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Hank. God bless you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
Well, my question, I understand tithing, and I've been tithing, and I wish I would have done it sooner in my life. God is so wonderful, and He blesses us so much when we're obedient. My concern is offerings. What does God honor as offerings? I've heard that it can be time, it can be money, it can be all kinds of things, and I just wanted to know, where can I look biblically for what is an honorable definition of offerings and examples of offerings that God would find, like I said, honorable?
Well, you're a very wise lady. I mean, you have really put it all in perspective with a prologue to your question, first of all, by saying that you wish you would have started tithing earlier, because tithing, in essence, as has been well said, is the training wheels to giving, which is to say that when you tithe, you are learning to depend more fully and freely upon the Lord rather than on your own resources. But you've also, in the prologue to the question, noted the reality that it's not just about treasure or money. It's about time and talent as well. And what the biblical motif ultimately points towards is not a tenth or giving a portion, but giving our all, which is to say that we hold our time, our talent, our treasure with open hands so that God can do with them as He sees fit. Because when we accomplish that, then we recognize the truth that God holds our every breath in His hand, that not a single hair can vanish from our head, that He is not aware of it. In other words, He cares about the intimate details of our lives, and if we are faithful to Him, we will see His faithfulness in full bloom. And that's really what we want, to rely upon the arm of God as opposed to relying upon the arm of flesh. Now, all of this is very easy to say. I would say it's a much more difficult thing to do. We so often lean upon our own resources. So you've taken a step by which you're saying, God, I want to learn to ride the bike without training wheels. I want to depend totally upon You. And I think that action itself is a wonderful step into the grace and glory and provision of our Heavenly Father. Because, you know, we can provide for ourselves financially and we can do so much on our own strength, but, you know, in the end it turns to gravel in our teeth, and then all of a sudden we have a pain in the pericardium and we realize, wow, I could do all kinds of things to support myself, but my life every moment is in His hand. And that's really where we want to be. We want to be at a place where we recognize that He is sovereignly in charge of every detail of our lives.
And He does show that back to us. I'm just amazed at how He does exactly what He says. He provides, and He's always there, and no matter what, just lean, and He's there. It's just incredible. But I wanted to, like you're saying, I want to do more, and I want to see if what I'm doing now is in line with that, or if there's even more I can do. So,
well,
I guess,
yeah,
what you're saying is anything we do, giving from God or being available for God to use us, is still offering.
Yeah,
yes?
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Yes, yes.
I think I'm getting it. Thank you.
Well, you're getting it, and you've helped a lot of people in the process. Thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome. Have a good evening, sir.
You too. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bobby in Dover, Delaware, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well. Thank you.
Just want to say I called you once before and you answered my question beautifully. I don't know. It was about cremation. But anyway, my question is it troubles my heart to read the Bible and know all this stuff is happening, or Christ and all the stuff that was written down was happening in the Middle East, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious as to, it breaks my heart, how did the American Indians or Canadians or Mexicans or whoever, how were they offered the ability, the chance to be saved, or were they, or...
Yeah, good question, Bobby. And the way I'd respond to that is the way Paul responded in Romans 1, 2, and 3, which is to say, no matter where you live, you have the light of creation. And that's delineated by by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, where he says, God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. In Romans chapter 2, he highlights the matter of conscience, which is to say that God's knowledge or a knowledge of God himself is written upon the tablet of our consciousness. And again, because of that, we are without excuse. We have an inner light, we have an outer light. And Paul makes plain in Romans chapter 3 that if we respond to the light from without and the light from within, that we will receive more light. We will receive the light of Jesus Christ. So Christ is not capricious. He's not trying to hide from us, but he wants to make himself manifest to those who diligently seek him. I love those who love me, says the prophet, and those who diligently seek me will find me. The prophet, of course, is an oracle or a mouthpiece for God himself in saying that. So wherever you are, you have an opportunity to respond to God's goodness and his grace. And that's what Paul meant when he was at the Areopagus and there said that from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact time and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, furthermore, and I've mentioned this a number of times, I think this is a very significant reality. Jesus said to Nicodemus, light came into darkness. Of course, he's referring to himself. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, which is to say, the real problem from the perspective of the Messiah himself is not that there's not enough light. The real problem is that men love darkness, and that's why they remain out of light and remain in the midst of darkness. If people want a relationship with God, God is not trying to put obstacles in their way. They have the light of creation, again, the light of conscience, and if they respond to that light, they'll receive more light. And I should add to my comments that the normative way in which that light comes to people is through human agency, God sending someone like Peter, who had a vision in Joppa, sending Peter to Cornelius. But it's not the only way that God operates. God, for example, directly accosted the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. So the normative means through which God works is through human agency, human beings being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, but certainly God works as well directly. So God can reveal himself through visions, dreams, though non-normative, these are still realities because we certainly can never put God in a box, either in the past, in the present, or in the future.
Well, I thank you. I can understand that because even the Cherokee or Blackfoot or whoever, they worship, they worship their gods, you know, and they have hallucinations or whatever. And yeah, I can see how God doesn't have to stick to Israel. I mean, he can go there anywhere he wants to.
Yeah, and Israel, of course, was called to be a light to the nations. The hell of it, if you will, is that Israel instead prostituted herself with the nations. And this is why they were punished as severely as they were, first in the northern section of the kingdom and then in the southern section of the kingdom. Again, it was because of the prostitution that Israel experienced. Instead of being a light to the nations, she prostituted herself with the nations. And of course, this is a great warning for us today as well, that we ought to be a light to the nations so that the gospel can go out to the ends of the world. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, resources that I talk about on the broadcast you can find at equip.org.
Children are back at school. Learning the theory of evolution is truth, and fewer teachings are more dangerous.
That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with the facts about why creation is true by sending you the DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. The eye-opening resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your copy when you call or go online. The phone number is 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Can you handle the truth? The truth about creation? Many students today aren't being told the truth. Instead, they're taught the theory of evolution as truth. That's why, in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Flight, The Genius of Birds. This new DVD from Illustra Media is an eye-opening look at the precise way God created birds, from skeleton to musculature to circulatory system and every other part of their body. It's all geared to work together to produce flight. And Flight shows you and your children and grandchildren why evolution is false and the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Evolution strips away any notion of God. No God, no absolute truth. No absolute truth, and anything and everything goes. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with what he calls one of the most powerful tools he's seen to help you understand why evolution is false, the DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call to request it today, 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need.
I want to first mention that if you are not a member of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team and you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having around the world, please prayerfully consider joining. It means a great deal to the health of our ministry and our ability to reach out around the world. For your monthly gift of $25 or more, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And again, you can join in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And if you are an existing member and you can possibly make an extra gift this month, it would mean a lot to us. We are still in the process of trying to close a funding gap. Whatever you can do would be gratefully received and used for the propagation of the gospel. Again, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Dana next, Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Dana.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
If you don't mind, I'd like to make a quick response to Deborah from Laverne.
Sure.
About offering.
Yeah.
What we actually did a small group study about this, and we tend to get bogged down because there's so much pulling us in so many ways, and we always feel like we're not giving enough or doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
We always remember that to be anxious for nothing, but with all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests be made known to God. And he is going to guide you and guard you so that you are doing what he wants from you and not trying to overstress yourself with it.
Hmm.
So just always keep that in mind, and your offering will always be acceptable to God, whatever it happens to be.
Wonderful.
So anyway, on to my question. I was actually very moved by your opening story about persecution and those girls in China. And there is a thing that's weighing on my heart that made me call in, which is persecution is actually very much worldwide, and we actually suffer it here in America as well. And what causes, in particular, I'm thinking about at work. If we try to share the gospel with coworkers, we could potentially lose our jobs. In many cases, specifically if you're working for a government position, a state employee or a private organization even, and how to stand strong. And also, when you do choose a cause to stand strong for and to suffer that persecution, how to know that it's something worthy, that you're not glorifying yourself. Like, biblically speaking, where can we look to know and search our hearts that we're not in turn persecuting or causing others to be hateful or causing them to persecute us simply for being doing too much, I guess.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think through that with you, Dana. If you think at back to the first century and you think about the early embryonic church, Christians would be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, therefore declaring that Jesus Christ was God. And they would say, Christ is Savior and Lord, in the epicenter of a Caesar cult in which they were commanded to say Caesar was Savior and Lord. So the moment they did that, the moment they identified visibly with the body of Christ, they were now in a position to suffer every indignity that one human being can foist on another. And many of them died cruel deaths as a result of their public declaration, a public declaration made because the first act of obedience in baptism is to say visibly to the world, I am now identifying tangibly, visibly with the body of Christ. And so at the very beginning, we recognize that when we say we're not of this world, but we're serving another kingdom, we put ourselves in the face of persecution. And as you correctly point out, I mean, those persecutions come in a lot of different ways. And I often say, the gospel is an offense. We don't have to add to the offense by the way the gospel is communicated, which is to say, you don't have to walk around furiously in your workplace grabbing people by the lapel saying, brother, sister, are you saved? I don't think that's what we're called to do. But what we are called to do is equip ourselves, prepare ourselves, and then when God gives us an opportunity, we dare not close our mouths. And we have the examples of the apostles after Christ died who said that very thing. You determine, is it better for us to obey God or to obey you? We're not going to stop talking about Jesus Christ. We're going to continue doing it. But the principle here, I think, is that just as they were equipped by the Master, if we're equipped, God will give us opportunities in all kinds of different places, in all kinds of different ways. And when He does give us those opportunities led by the Holy Spirit, then we dare not be a secret agent, but we must be instead an ambassador for Jesus Christ, boldly proclaiming the kingdom that soon will come to earth.
That's a very eloquent point. The big hassle that I see in the world is that Christians turn around and we end up persecuting others. The one strong point I'm thinking is recently as far as the legislation passed about gay marriage. And we're doing this wrong, I think, by there's, oh my goodness, everything from people being beaten down or, there's some churches that have advertised, we won't do anything, we don't come here basically and shutting doors when we are supposed to show love and everything. And so I think we've in some ways created our own persecution by being serving ourselves and the things we think are right rather than the truths that we know are right and that still small voice that tells us what is right. We cause persecution on others, and therefore it falls back on us sometimes.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly right, Dana. And I mean it's what I was trying to say when I said the gospel's an offense, but we don't have to add to the offense by the way we're communicating. If we're not showing love to the very people that God called us to reach, shame on us.
Right. See, I'm blessed to work for a Christian company, but since we work very much with the public, we're discouraged from specifically speaking about the Lord unless we see signs of the person, if they're wearing a cross or they happen to say something, we are discouraged from bringing it up. And it causes a concern for me. We have a company that's professing Christianity, but at the same time, squashing that ability to share the gospel with people. And so that's why I was concerned. That's why it weighed so heavy on my heart. I don't want to lose my job because of it, but I am absolutely not going to work for a Christian company that is not going to celebrate its Christianity.
Yeah, and again, I think it's important whether the company is overtly a Christian company or not, it's important that we demonstrate all the marks of Christ by being diligent in the work that we do and exemplary in how we conduct ourselves so that Christ may be seen in us from that perspective. So oftentimes we testify not only by our lips, but by our love and by our life as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm very glad to have that cleared up because the level of stance that you should take and knowing where to hold yourself is very important for not just myself, but I'm sure many others listening. And thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you as well. You did a lot of the clearing up yourself. So thanks for your insights and your contribution. Appreciate your call so much. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Ron, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank. Just had a quick question for you. I see a lot of churches today that kind of pay, I guess, homage to the Jewish people, the current day Jewish people in Israel, and they're basing it on the Bible where it says that if you, you know, bless Israel, you're going to be blessed, or curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Are we still under that obligation or to be a blessing even to the Jews that don't believe in Jesus?
Well, first of all, it's a gross misunderstanding of the scriptures to suggest that that was ever the case. Remember, Abram was called, and he was called from Ur the Chaldees, but in the calling, God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. And he said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham was called to be the father of a people, if you will, ultimately represented through Israel, or true Israel in the truest sense of the word, because true Israel was never a matter of genealogy or ethnicity. It was a matter of belief in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and being brought into all the types and shadows pointing forward to the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Egyptians who left in the Exodus with the Israelites were true Israel, just as anyone else who was called to civil and ceremonial laws pointing forward to the coming Christ was true Israel. So temple, priest, sacrifice ultimately pointed forward to the quintessential sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. So true Israel is in view both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So Ruth, a Moabite, was true Israel, even though the Moabites were arch enemies of Israel. And Ruth, of course, was true Israel. And of course, that's explicitly stated in that she is in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. So true Israel is what is in view, not a particular socio-political structure in the Middle East. It's true Israel. So this has to do with the people of God from every tongue and every nation and every people throughout the whole earth. So I don't think we should be pro-Jew. We should be pro-justice. I don't think we should be pro-Palestinian. We should be pro-peace. I mean, it's not a matter of God ever being a racist. It's about relationship. And we should never be racist either. We shouldn't identify people on the basis of their race, but we should, in fact, bless those who are those who worship God in spirit and in truth.
Awesome. That breaks it down. I appreciate it, Hank.
You got it, Ron. Thank you so much for your call. And I want to let everybody know along the line that I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour today once we go off the air, and we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, we'll get to you. Yeah, many of you can call, and I'll answer your questions as well. The number to dial for the next hour, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, as we close out the live portion of this broadcast and we go to the recorded answers in just a few moments, as I answer your questions, you can call in live, 888-ASK-HANK. And by the way, I'm going to take those my answers to your questions, record them, and play them on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm traveling. But what I wanted to say is, if you don't have Flight yet, we've been promoting it all month, and it's one of the great resources that I've ever placed in anybody's hands. You will be so blessed by it, your family, and it will equip you to be a testimony, a witness to a lost and searching world. Again, I'll stay right here for the next hour. To everybody live, so long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, just log on to equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Want to learn more about the miracle of a common chicken egg? How about the mechanism in a hummingbird's tongue? Elestra Media's new DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, shows the truth about the complex designs of these creatures and more. It's also Hank Hanegraaff's gift to you in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you watch Flight, you'll be reminded again that our world has been designed by our creative creator, God. Flight also counteracts the evolutionary thinking that you and your children or grandchildren could be exposed to, and it equips you with the truth of the biblical account of creation. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.